It's November the 28th. Let's read the Bible. Friends, welcome back to this year-long journey from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year. So glad to have you with us. We are almost to the end of November. One more month and our journey will be done. So today, we are in the book of Hosea. And before I get into Hosea, just got to read this. Someone wrote, "I personally thank you. You really helped me through my journey. And you're continuing to help, and may God bless your soul." It's that last phrase that got my attention. May God bless your soul. I thank my friend for those kind words. And I think, you know, we often say God bless you without thinking about it. But something just touched me when that person said, "May God bless your soul," which to me meant, "May God bless you on the inside, in the inner man, where you can be strengthened, where you need help, where it's easy to be discouraged." And you know what? I want to say, I have been blessed in my soul by you, by your prayers, by your kind words, by your comments, by all the things that you have done. We're still here doing this together, 11 months in, by the grace of God. So God has blessed us together, and I feel blessed by you and by the fact we can read God's word together. Okay, Hosea. Yesterday, we started in this wonderful book, the first of the minor prophets. I gave you these dates. He ministered publicly for about 60 years, from about 785 BC to 725 BC. He wrapped up just before the Assyrian invasion took the northern 10 tribes away into captivity. And you remember, they were taken away. And as a group, they never returned. Hosea was a contemporary of Isaiah, but Isaiah ministered in the south, Hosea ministered in the north. And you know, the big thing about Hosea is he married the prostitute. He married the promiscuous woman. He married Gomer, who was a prostitute or had been or was going to be. It's a little unclear, but God told him to do it. He knew it. I'm sure he knew what he was getting into or thought he did. Married her. She went off and did her thing, and that was no good. But they had some kids and gave them names that were Lo Ruhamah and Jezreel, and Lo Ami, not Lo Ami, meaning not my people. But and it was a way that God was saying through this visual lesson, Israel, Judah, you are under judgment. You call yourself my people, but you're not really my people. Look at your rebellious hearts. And so, at the end of chapter 3, he takes her back, and the marriage is restored. The relationship is restored. It's a picture of what God intends to do with Judah. Though they are going to go into captivity, God is going to bring them back, and ultimately he is going to bring them back to himself. Here is the book, Sin, Judgment, Restoration. Unfaithful Wife, chapters 1 through 3. Unfaithful Nation, chapters 4 through 10. Faithful God, chapters 11 through 14. Sin, Judgment, and Restoration. So today, chapters 5 through 10. And this is the long section about God's judgment on his rebellious people. Hosea 5, Lord, speak to us today. Lord, we need to hear this, not just as ancient words to ancient people, but as your word to us today. Amen. Hosea 5. Hear this, priests. Pay attention, house of Israel. Listen, royal house, for this judgment applies to you, because you have been a snare at Mizpah and a net spread out on Tabor. Rebels are deeply involved in slaughter. I will be a punishment for all of them. I know Ephraim, and Israel is not hidden from me. For now, Ephraim, you have acted promiscuously. Israel is defiled. Their actions do not allow them to return to their God, for a spirit of promiscuity is among them, and they do not know the Lord. Israel's arrogance testifies against them. Both Israel and Ephraim stumble because of their iniquity. Even Judah will stumble with them. They go with their flocks and herds to seek the Lord, but do not find him. He has withdrawn from them. Indeed, they gave birth to illegitimate children. Now the new moon will devour them along with their fields. Blow the ram's horn in Gibeah, the trumpet in Ramah. Raise the war cry in Beth-Aven. Look behind you, Benjamin. Ephraim will become a desolation on the day of punishment, I announce what is certain among the tribes of Israel. The princes of Judah are like those who move boundary markers. I will pour out my fury on them like water. Ephraim is oppressed, crushed in judgment, for he is determined to follow what is worthless. So I am like rot to Ephraim and like decay to the house of Judah. When Ephraim saw his sickness and Judah his wound, Ephraim went to Assyria and sent a delegation to the great king. He cannot cure you or heal your wound, for I am like a lion to Ephraim and like a young lion to the house of Judah. Yes, I will tear them to pieces and depart. I will carry them off, and no one can rescue them. I will depart and return to my place until they recognize their guilt and seek my face. They will search for me in their distress. One note, Ephraim was a huge tribe in the north, and Ephraim is a nickname for all 10 tribes. So when you hear Hosea mentioning Ephraim, he's talking about all 10 tribes together. Chapter 6, come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us, and he will heal us. He has wounded us, and he will bind up our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days, and on the third day he will raise us up so we can live in his presence. Let's strive to know the Lord. His appearance is as sure as the dawn. He will come to us like the rain, like the spring showers that water the land. What am I going to do with you, Ephraim? What am I going to do with you, Judah? Your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that vanishes. This is why I have used the prophets to cut them down. I have killed them with the words from my mouth. My judgment strikes like lightning, for I desire faithful love and not sacrifice, the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. But they, like Adam, have violated the covenant. There they have betrayed me. Gilead is a city of evildoers, tracked with bloody footprints, like raiders who wait in ambush for someone. A band of priests murders on the road to Shechem. They commit atrocities. I have seen something horrible in the house of Israel. Ephraim's promiscuity is there. Israel is defiled. A harvest is also appointed for you, Judah, when I restore the fortunes of my people. Now, this is the end of chapter 6, but this sentence, when I restore the fortunes of my people, this sentence ends now in chapter 7. When I restore the fortunes of my people, now chapter 7, when I heal Israel, the iniquity of Ephraim and the crimes of Samaria will be exposed, for they practice fraud, a thief breaks in, a raiding party pillages outside. But they never consider that I remember all their evil. Now their actions are all around them. They are right in front of my face. They please the king with their evil, their princes with their lies. All of them commit adultery. They are like an oven heated by a baker who stops stirring the fire from the kneading of the dough until it is leavened. On the day of our king, the princes are sick with the heat of wine. There is a conspiracy with traitors, for they, their hearts like an oven, draw him into their oven. Their anger smolders all night. In the morning, it blazes like a flaming fire. All of them are as hot as an oven, and they consume their rulers. All their kings fall. Not one of them calls on me. Ephraim has allowed himself to get mixed up with the nations. Ephraim is unturned bread baked on a griddle. Foreigners consume his strength, but he does not notice. Even his hair is streaked with gray, but he does not notice. Israel's arrogance testifies against them, yet they do not return to the Lord their God. And for all this, they do not seek him. So Ephraim has become like a silly, senseless dove. They call Egypt. They go to Assyria. And as they are going, I will spread my net over them. I will bring them down like birds of the sky. I will discipline them in accordance with the news that reaches their assembly. Woe to them, for they fled from me. Destruction to them, for they rebelled against me. Though I want to redeem them, they speak lies against me. They do not cry to me from their hearts. Rather, they wail on their beds. They slash themselves for grain and new wine. They turn away from me. I trained and strengthened their arms, but they plot evil against me. They turn, but not to what is above. They are like a faulty bow. Their leaders will fall by the sword because of their insolent tongue. They will be ridiculed for this in the land of Egypt. Hosea 8. Put the ram's horn to your mouth. One like an eagle comes against the house of the Lord, because they transgress my covenant and rebel against my law. Israel cries out to me, my God, we know you. Israel has rejected what is good. An enemy will pursue him. They have installed kings, but not through me. They have appointed leaders, but without my approval. They make their gold and silver into idols for themselves for their own destruction. Your calf idol is rejected, Samaria. My anger burns against them. How long will they be incapable of innocence? For this thing is from Israel. A craftsman made it. It is not God. The calf of Samaria will be smashed to bits. Indeed, they sow the wind and reap the whirlwind. There is no standing grain. What sprouts fails to yield flour. Even if they did, foreigners would swallow it up. Israel has swallowed it up. Now they are among the nations like discarded pottery, for they have gone up to Assyria like a wild donkey going off on its own. Ephraim has paid for love. Even though they hire lovers among the nations, I will now round them up, and they will begin to decrease in number under the burden of the king and leaders. When Ephraim multiplied his altars for sin, they became his altars for sinning. Though I were to write out for him 10,000 points of my instruction, they would be regarded as something strange. Though they offer sacrificial gifts and eat the flesh, the Lord does not accept them. Now he will remember their guilt and punish their sins. They will return to Egypt. Israel has forgotten his maker and built palaces. Judah has also multiplied fortified cities. I will send fire on their cities, and it will consume their citadels. Hosea 9, Israel, do not rejoice jubilantly as the nations do, for you have acted promiscuously, leaving your God. You love the wages of a prostitute on every grain threshing floor. Threshing floor and wine vat will not sustain them, and the new wine will fail them. They will not stay in the land of the Lord. Instead, Ephraim will return to Egypt, and they will eat unclean food in Assyria. They will not pour out their wine offerings to the Lord, and their sacrifices will not please him. Their food will be like the bread of mourners. All who eat it become defiled, for their bread will be for their appetites alone. It will not enter the house of the Lord. What will you do on a festival day, on the day of the Lord's feast? For even if they flee from devastation, Egypt will gather them, and Memphis will bury them. Thistles will take possession of their precious silver. Thorns will invade their tents. The days of punishment have come. The days of retribution have come. Let Israel recognize it. The prophet is a fool, and the inspired man is insane because of the magnitude of your iniquity and hostility. Ephraim's watchman is with my God. Yet the prophet encounters a bird trap on all his pathways. Hostility is in the house of his God. They have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. He will remember their iniquity. He will punish their sins. I discovered Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your ancestors like the first fruit of the fig tree in its first season. But they went to Baal Peor and consecrated themselves to shame and became abhorrent like the thing they loved. Ephraim's glory will fly away like a bird. No birth, no pregnancy, no conception. Even if they raise children, I will bereave them of each one. Yes, woe to them when I depart from them. I have seen Ephraim like Tyre planted in the meadow, so Ephraim will bring out his children to the executioner. Give them, Lord. What should you give? Give them a womb that miscarries and breasts that are dry. All their evil appears at Gilgal, for there I began to hate them. I will drive them from my house because of their evil, wicked actions. I will no longer love them. All their leaders are rebellious. Ephraim is struck down. Their roots are withered. They cannot bear fruit, even if they bear children. I will kill the precious offspring of their wombs. My God will reject them because they have not listened to him. They will become wanderers among the nations. Hosea 10. Last chapter of the judgment section. Israel is a lush vine. It yields fruit for itself. The more his fruit increased, the more he increased the altars. The better his land produced, the better they made the sacred pillars. Their hearts are devious. Now they must bear their guilt. The Lord will break down their altars and demolish their sacred pillars. In fact, they are now saying, we have no king. For we do not fear the Lord. What can a king do for us? They speak mere words, taking false oaths. while making covenants. So lawsuits break out like poisonous weeds in the furrows of a field. The residents of Samaria will have anxiety over the calf of Beth-Aven. Indeed, its idolatrous priests rejoiced over it. The people will mourn over it, over its glory. It will certainly go into exile. The calf itself will be taken to Assyria as an offering to the great king. Ephraim will experience shame. Israel will be ashamed of its counsel. Samaria's king will disappear like foam on the surface of the water. The high places of Avon, the sin of Israel, will be destroyed. Thorns and thistles will grow over their altars. They will say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. Israel, you have sinned since the days of Gibeah. They have taken their stand there. Will not war against the unjust overtake them in Gibeah? I will discipline them at my discretion. Nations will be gathered against them to put them in bondage for their double iniquity. Ephraim is a well-trained calf that loves to thresh, but I will put a yoke on her fine neck. I will harness Ephraim. Judah will plow. Jacob will do the final plowing. Sow righteousness for yourself and reap faithful love. Break up your unplowed ground. It is time to seek the Lord until he comes and sends righteousness on you like rain. You have plowed wickedness and reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies because you have trusted in your own way and in your large number of soldiers. The roar of battle will rise against your people, and all your fortifications will be demolished in a day of war, like Shalmon's destruction of Beth Arbel. Mothers will be dashed to pieces along with their children. So it will be done to you, Bethel, because of your extreme evil. At dawn, the king of Israel will be totally destroyed. Man, that's heavy stuff. You know, as I was reading this, you know, sometimes that stuff just comes into my mind while I'm reading this for you. And this hit me strongly. You know, every prophet has his personality, and it comes out. Isaiah exalted, an exalted view of God. And that comes out. He sees God. He has visions of the Lord, high and lifted up, his train filling the temple. And Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, deeply emotional. If I say I'm going to stop, then I couldn't, because I have to speak. My bones would cry out, so to speak. I've got to talk. Deeply emotional. And Ezekiel, he's with the exiles in Babylon. Man, he's like a foreman. You did this. You got what you deserved. You ignored God. You went, and all that very graphic imagery, you went a whoring after the gods of the other nations. And so it's interesting. You come to, and then you've got Daniel completely. Daniel's in a category unto himself, the Daniel, the statesman prophet. But then you come to Hosea. And, you know, for one thing, you're back in the 785 to 725 B.C. And he's a wordsmith. Almost every sentence, you know, you're like the half-baked loaf of bread, or the baked on one side, not baked on the other. You've eaten the fruit. You have plowed wickedness and reaped injustice. You have eaten the fruit of lies. This guy's a wordsmith. Wow. I mean, he's an artist with his images and his metaphors and his similes. But boy, he's bringing it home here. And at the end of this, what does he say? All of this. What time is it? It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord. Sow righteousness for yourself and reap faithful love. Break up your unplowed ground. Very similar thing Jeremiah said in his book. Break up your fallow ground. Oh God, come in and plow up the ground of my heart. Oh God, I just read something, and now I don't remember where I read it, but I read something just within the last day or so. So it's a young woman who said when she was a teenager, she read that little booklet by Robert Boyd Munger, My Heart Cries Home, and it kind of bothered her because the idea of opening the door, and there were secret places in her life she didn't want the Lord to come into. The idea, you know, come into the bedroom, Lord, come into the kitchen, come into the playroom, come into the internet room. Lord, come and poke around in the attic. It all belongs to you. That's the idea here. Lord, come in. Lord, plow up the unplowed ground of my heart, the part of it that's hard, the part of it with hidden sin, the part of it with mean-spirited bad attitudes or discouragement or discontentment or anger or bitterness or unbelief or whatever it is, judgmental spirit. Lord, come in and just plow up the ground of my heart. Yes, that's where I'm going to leave this today. What time is it, friends? It's time for you and me to open the door and say, Lord, come in. Do some house cleaning. Or if you want Hosea's metaphor, Lord, here's my heart. Bring the divine plow in and break up the fallow ground of my heart. Break up the hardness of my heart so I can respond to you and you can touch me with your Holy Spirit. What time is it, friends? Well, here on November 28th, it's time to seek the Lord. We're busy about many things. You've got your list and I've got mine. I got stuff I got to do today. But there's nothing I got to do today that's more important than this. It's time for you and me to seek the Lord. Let's do that today, shall we? And when we seek the Lord, those who seek Him with an honest heart, they will always find Him. Ask and you shall receive what? Seek and what? You shall find. Knock, the door shall be opened unto you. So we're asking, Lord, that you would show us what we need. We're seeking you, Lord. We are seeking you. And we're knocking and saying, Lord, please, come in and make us new from the inside out. Great prayer for today. Pray like that. Ask, seek, and knock. The Lord will come in. He'll make all things new. Go out and have a great day. We're going to come back tomorrow and wrap up this wonderful book of Hosea. See you then. God bless.